This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Limits, I have read the feature story on you for the Perbolite. Is that what they call it at Baldwin? The Baldwin newspaper, written by Emma Powell. She did a great job. I mean, a great job. This really brings you to life. I'm a little bit resentful that Gormy the Owl and Alan Saunders and Chris Mack are mentioned in the story before me, but I thought I got a lot of love here from you. And you even complimented me once. You said my writing is incredible, although you didn't say much about my radio performance. So there's some small resentments in here, but there's great anecdotes. I'm not going to give away too much of this. She begins it with a wonderful Ron Cook anecdote. And she's a really good writer. Like, there have been times when I look at people's writing, whether it's high school or college, and I'm absolutely horrified. But this is really good. She only uses the good quotes. The story moves along. She paints a very accurate picture of you. She lets people who know you well paint that picture. She's a very good writer. And I think how many people see this thing? Just the students and teachers or people around Baldwin?
No, it'll be online too. And they're online publications. So anybody that clicks the link will be able to see it.
I'm going to retweet this when it goes online. I told her the only adjustment is to put my stuff above Gormy the Owl's.
I agree with that.
I'm only kidding.
I've known Alan and Gormy and Mac for a lot longer than I've known you, unfortunately. I met them when I was in high school.
No. And Gormy the Owl is quoted in here as saying he spotted in you a real keeper. So did I.
Kevin's in the story. Oh my gosh, who's all in this story?
Kevin who?
Gorman.
I've said that 8 times. Gormy the Owl.
What? He was interviewed for the story. I'm not entirely sure who was
all
interviewed.
Did you miss the first part of this segment?
No, I heard that, but I didn't know. So was Chris Mack, Kevin Gorman, and Alan all interviewed?
I'm not giving away that. I can't give away the whole story before people see it.
I thought maybe I mentioned them as like influential people because I talked to Mack and Gorman at a podcast I did when I was a senior at high school in Baldwin working for the Perbolite.
Right. This is all a mystery. She's definitely a better writer than you.
Probably is, yes.
And she did a great job here. And when this comes out online, I'm going to retweet it to the world because I spotted also in you a very promising and enthusiastic broadcast person. I always told my students at Waynesburg, before we even start here, unlike in sports, because I said earlier that availability, your best ability is availability. I don't agree with that in pro sports. I do agree with it in journalism and broadcasting. And I'm not saying that's your best attribute, but it's your first one, is that you show up and you show up enthusiastically. And people value that. Bosses value that everywhere. Coworkers value that. That's a guy I can count on. And I spotted right away in Limits a very witty, informed, and willing radio person. And so anybody who asked me, you were my recommendation. And she goes into that story. It's very good.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. And I mean, it's just being a part of being consistent and showing up every day with passion and dedication. That's what I hope to try to do.
I think, in fact, that you could be the next Mike DeFabo. Is he on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline?
Indeed he is.
I think he is. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike, I'm going to send to you expressly here right away. The Austin Bechtold story, Bechtold the Early Years, it's called, by Emma Powell from the Purbolite, the Baldwin High School newspaper.
Well, I can't wait to read it, Joe, after that glowing review you gave. You know, I've been on hold this entire time, and at first I thought maybe you accidentally put me on like, the fan's end-of-year review. And you, this was his performance review. But it's glad. I'm glad to hear that Austin's doing a good job, and I would agree too. So if he needs the letter of recommendation, as you've written him eloquently here on the air, I would be happy to also write him one.
Limits. I bet you're moved by that, aren't you?
I'm very moved. I have a smile ear to ear right now.
Well, Mike DeFabo is an excellent reporter and writer himself. And Mike, I'm curious, what do you think? You know, the Steelers are pretty much, they have to be huddling this week trying to determine where they're going with a lot of their moves, but number one is quarterback. I think Dulac reported their split. So we were trying to imagine earlier in the day, who is for who in there? Like if there's five guys who have a voice in this, and those five are Art, Mike, Omar, Andy Weidel, and good old Artie Smith, who would you imagine is in favor of Wilson and who's in favor of Fields?
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously speculating to some degree here, but I think that it's very obvious that Arthur Smith would be in the camp of Justin Fields. You just read between the lines of some of his comments and then some of the things we've heard behind the scenes, and I think that he is intrigued by the potential of, can I be the offensive coordinator who gets the most out of Justin Fields? So I think that that one we have pretty well nailed down. I think that Andy Weidel also is in the camp of Justin Fields. You look at what he did in Philadelphia. And they were big on quarterback mobility there when they drafted Jalen Hurts. And I feel like everything that Andy Weidel believes in and preaches in terms of we're going to win by winning the line of scrimmage, having a mobile quarterback plays into that. You know, not only when Justin Fields runs, but also the mere threat of him pulling it and keeping it on the read option is going to open up running lanes for his running back. So I think Andy would be in the camp of Justin. Let's see here. Art is an interesting one because I have heard that Dan Rooney, the young Dan Rooney, is in favor of Justin. Mm. But our old buddy Mark Caboli, I know, is speculating that Art is possibly Team Russ. That one's tough to nail down because, you know, after hearing what I heard about Dan being – what I had heard was there was conversations and basically they were like, look, if we run it back with Russ, he's not getting any better. He might be getting worse at this point. Would he be doing the same thing and expecting different results if we bring Russ back? I think that's probably how Dan Rooney feels, but he wasn't one of these five. So I am curious how Art feels. I think he might be maybe split. You know, I can't get a good read on him. I'm probably not the person to ask about Art. You know, Mike Tomlin is interesting because in the middle of the season, he was the one that allegedly or reportedly acted as a lone wolf, right?
Right. The lone ranger.
That decided that he believed in what was left in Russ, and he thought that this veteran who had been to a Super Bowl could help take them there again or to help them at least snap this playoff drought. You know, but over the last five games, when they put up just 14 points per game, you know, did Mike Tomlin's decision or kind of viewpoint sour on that? I don't know. I think he's probably split himself. And then I guess that leaves Omar.
How much does Omar's opinion weigh, do you think, on football matters like this?
A lot. At the end of every single practice, there's a meeting of Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney, and Omar Khan. Those are the three guys who come together practically after every single practice. And once in a while, probably about half the time, Andy Weidel is in that conversation as well. So that just tells you. I remember having a conversation. I was reporting a story about Omar and what his job was going to be here. And I talked with Bill Cowher, and he explained it really like a three-pronged approach, where it's the owner, it's the GM, and it's the head coach. And basically, you're looking for a two-thirds majority. Whatever those two-thirds believe, the other person, even if they disagree, they might have to take a back seat. Mm. So those three hold by far the most power, but I do think that the other two that you mentioned, Andy and Arthur Smith, also will have a say.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic on the line. So, Mike, do you feel like there's going to be anything that happens this offseason that's like a seismic Steeler move, like they choose somebody other than Fields or Wilson, or they choose to trade a Minka or a TJ? Anything seismic?
Well, at Mike Tomlin's postseason press conference, he came out and he said that there's going to be changes on a lot of levels, right? And that quote has been widely circulated since. Well, what have been the two changes since? Aaron Curry decided he could get more money or have a better opportunity with the Jets, and he left on his own. And then the Steelers decided, I guess, that their young cornerbacks weren't developing enough, and they wanted a different voice in the secondary, out with Grady Brown, in with Jarrod Alexander. That does not, to me, signal change on a lot of levels. So to me, if they are going to make these significant changes that were promised, they need to come from the roster. And I am intrigued to see what they end up doing with George Pickens and with Minka Fitzpatrick. And I have been a strong proponent of trading both of them. And I think I very much would look at that, especially George. And I think if I'm the Steelers, what I do is you realize this is coming to a head one way or another, whether you want it to or not. Like, George is entering the final year of his rookie contract. He can bring this to a head simply by holding out. Why give him that opportunity and that power, especially given some of his track record? I would trade him for whatever you can get. Draft a wide receiver in the first round. Maybe you get a second-round pick back. You use that to address the defensive line, maybe even double dip on defensive line in the second round. Draft a running back in the third. I mean, I think I would absolutely make that move. The thing is, there are a lot of teams out there that are seeing the same things that the Steelers have. And I think there are a lot of teams that would have their concerns about trading for a guy like George Pickens. So, what's the market for a guy like that? What can you get in return? But, I still think that both of those things are possibilities right now, especially given the fact that they did not make significant changes to the staff.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can get a hold of City Limit. Always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service Athletics. So our friend Pony put out an interesting tweet today. Did he include the eyeball emoji limits as he often does?
No eyeballs this time.
Says he's hearing the Steelers have some interest in Daniel Jones.
The only way that in Daniel Jones is as a backup is kind of like what Justin Fields was this year. We're going to have this guy. We're going to bring him in. He has starting experience. He has played in playoff games before. And so the hope would be you bring him in. He kind of sits. And if you need to go to him, you have a more experienced backup. But if you're telling me that you're going to bring in Daniel Jones to be the starter, my response to that would be, okay, you're trying to tank to get Arch Manning. Because if you are bringing in Daniel Jones to be the starter, then your evaluation of quarterbacks is even worse than what I thought.
That might not be a bad idea, by the way.
To bring him in and try to tank?
I would accompany that with, honestly, trading TJ and Minka and live to fight another day when the draft's in your town.
Yeah, I just have a hard time believing that they're sitting there and thinking that Daniel Jones would be their best option as a starter, though. First of all, I don't trust what Pony reports. Second of all, if it is true what Pony ever reports, I would think that it has to be as the backup, which I'd be perfectly fine with.
Holy horse milk, shots have been fired here, Limits. Did you hear this?
Do you not? You don't trust anything that Pony reports, Mike?
No. No, I've not. I have a hard time believing a lot of it, yes.
This is incredible. This has taken a turn. This is going to make show.
How many things have been shot down that he's reported within the last, couple months even? The latest thing, here was my real big question if we're going down this path.
And we certainly are. We appear headed that way.
So Pony put out the tweet sponsored by Wawa or Sheetz or whoever was sponsoring it, and said that he had big quarterback news. And then Ryan Burr, who I'd never heard of before, came out and produced a report saying that the Steelers might trade for Trevor Lawrence. Never mind the fact that it's almost impossible to trade for him given the salary cap situation. And what I was really curious was that actually Pony's like, hey, tune in tomorrow for the big news? Or did it just so happen that this other report came out and he's like, oh, that's even better than what I was going to come up with, so let me just run with that?
I don't know, but that wasn't Pony reporting that. That was Ryan Burr. Did you know him when he was here, Mike?
No, I hadn't heard of him before this. But don't you remember Pony, like 8 hours before that or 12 hours before that, put out a video saying he had huge news to announce on the show? And my question is, was that your huge news, or were you just like, nice, somebody else put out something, this is even better than what I was going to say?
You might have to ask Pony that personally on the PM show.
They don't talk to me on the PM show, so.
I'm sure they will now.
also, speaking of, I'm also being reminded of, Pony reported that Billy Joel was going to do the halftime at Christmas Day. And I was going to tweet at him and tell him I just loved his rendition of Piano Man that day on Christmas. It really made my Christmas bright.
Limits, this has taken quite the turn, and I'm not sure how to handle it from here on out.
Now,
here we go.
Christmas chorus.
Did you hear this,
you,
Mike?
Malzie the Snowman.
The perfect time.
Malzie the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul.
Wait for Bob Solo.
Who knows his favorite pitcher was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzie the Snowman was a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow.
Here we go, Mike. This is Bob on one take.
To life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzie danced around.
Your take?
That was beautiful, and Bob Pompiani has an iconic voice.
Doesn't he?
For years, yeah, for decades, and maybe even longer than that, people are going to be remembering his iconic voice in Pittsburgh.
I would agree with that. Meantime, the future of Najee Harris is my last topic to broach here. How does it make sense that he comes back? For me, it doesn't, because I just don't think he's very good. I've pointed out here in recent weeks that these are the players who have averaged at least 3.9 yards a carry, actually all of them more over their Steelers career, and had a longer run than Najee's career long. Are you ready for this list, Mike?
I can't wait. Yeah, hit me with it.
Tim Worley, Frank Pollard, Jonathan Dwyer, Richard Huntley, Najee Davenport, Walter Abercrombie, Ernest Jackson, Rodney Carter, Eric Pegram, and Chris Fuamatu Maafala. They all had a run longer than Najee and more yards per carry.
Yeah, here's how I look at the Najee situation. To me, the Steelers told you exactly how they feel about Najee last year when they declined his fifth-year option. Like, we knew at that time what Najee was. He was going to give you a ton of carries. He was going to give you 1,000 yards, and he was going to do it at a very inefficient rate of between 3.9 and 4.1 yards per carry, right? That's what he had been. He had been the same running back for three straight years. The company line last year was, we want to see how Najee does in the Arthur Smith's offense, and that's the reason why we've declined his fifth-year option, which I think was a bit of PR to try to make Najee feel better and not just say, we're not really impressed by him, we're not sold on him yet. So they came up with this other justification. So what did you get in that fourth year and in that first year with Arthur Smith? The same exact year, okay? He had the same 1,000 yards, very similar number of carries, and very similar yards per carry average. And, you know, you can look at some of these advanced metrics, and you could almost argue that that was his worst year in terms of, like, offensive rush percentage and things of that nature. And so, for me, if you weren't willing to pay him $6.7 million on his fifth-year option a year ago, right, and that would be just a one-year commitment at a position where these guys have short careers, and at any point they could take a hit that ends their career, why would you now be interested in giving him a multi-year deal? And so for me, any kind of multi-year deal, unless it's like bargain basement price, would just seem inconsistent that you weren't sold on him after 3 years. He had exactly the same year, and there's no reason to believe he's going to be any different. Why would you now all of a sudden do it? Couple that with the fact that this is an incredible draft class at the running back position. And really the prudent move is draft any number of running backs in the second, third, fourth round that can be impact players who have more speed, who are better running outside zone, which is Arthur Smith's preferred kind of philosophy. I just feel like on so many different levels, it makes too much sense just to say thank you for your service, Najee. We appreciate everything that you've done for us, but we have to go in a different direction. We have to get a younger player. We have to get a less expensive player. We have to get a more explosive, more dynamic type of player.
I agree 100%. And I'll let you go on this one, Mike. Mike DeFabo from The Athletic. From a journalistic perspective, I was talking about Emma Powell from Baldwin writing a feature story on limits. And, you know, you always want to be complimentary, but she chose to completely ignore Austin's numerous legal issues. How do you feel about that?
What?
Well, I mean...
do you broach those things? Or especially in that kind of setting, do you just make it mostly complimentary?
Does he have legal issues that I should be aware of?
No, he doesn't.
You know, why are you even broaching this idea?
No, he does not. He's the nicest kid you've ever met in your life. He never even like stole a gumball, you know, from anywhere. I was kidding, Mike. I just wanted to take a shot at limits. You were fantastic today. Somehow I have the feeling that the PM team may broach this interview a little bit.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll see if they do. I haven't talked to those guys in years, I don't think.
Wonderful,
man. I don't know if they still have my phone number.
They might not. Thank you, Mike.
And they might not want it after this interview that we had here today, Joe.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this plays out myself. But great stuff as always. Read Mike's stuff in The Athletic. Thank you, man.
All right, thanks, Joe. I appreciate you having me.
That's Mike DeFabo. Limits, that took a turn and perhaps a dark one in the middle of the interview, did it not?
Yeah, I won't stand for the Pony slander there. I think that was a little bit too far of a shot against Pony.
How did you think of the idea to go with the Christmas music then?
You said, I don't know what else to talk about, and I immediately thought of Malzie the Snowman.
It was brilliant because I thought it brought a little bit of light to an otherwise increasingly darkening situation.
You know, that's what Malzie the Snowman does. It brings light into the darkness, even on February 18th.
It's like when the Grinch had a little turn and his heart became 1.5 sizes too big, wasn't it?
That's right.
Christmas was gone. Everything seemed very, very bleak, I thought, in Whoville. Is that where they called their home?
In Whoville, yeah.
And then suddenly it changed. And I thought you affected that for our show here today.
I'm very glad. If we need to turn it on a dime, just like you said about in that story.
What do we tell Pony when he comes in? Do you think he already heard this, or do we mention anything? How do we handle this?
I think Pony is aware.
Has this already become something on social media? I don't want to stoke that fire, but I can't control it if it starts.
Not yet. The text line has been going off a little bit, but other than that, I have not seen Twitter go ablaze yet.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Limits, why haven't we done more quarter century stuff yet? We're a quarter of a century into this century.
Hold on. You're just going to go by the fact that everybody heard you yawning on air and made no mention of it?
I mean, aren't they used to it by now? You certainly are.
Well, yeah, because I hear it every day, but the listeners don't get to hear it every single day.
They've heard it enough.
What do you
think
they think?
It just happens. It just flies out. They don't care anymore.
It's such a unique yawn.
I'm tired. There's still time to get tickets to the Fan's 15th anniversary party at Rivers Casino, February 26th. All the hosts will be there. Special guests go to Firehouse Subs at the Point in North Fayette this Thursday from 11 to noon. The first 10 people will get a pair of tickets to the event and will draw for another pair at noon. Check out 93.7thefan.com for details. 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. And, of course, Limits What's Cooking. Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. We should be doing quarter century stuff.
We should.
The best, why don't we want to do some of that tomorrow? When's Bob? No, Bob's not coming back tomorrow.
Bob is back on Thursday.
He's selfish.
He'll be here Thursday and Friday.
Let's do that tomorrow. I want your athlete of the quarter century, your top five. We'll talk tonight about it and we'll plan it out together, shall we?
I love it. It's a good idea. We could talk at the basketball game.
Is the Pirates, I might be at the game tonight.
You should be at the game tonight.
Don't tell me what I should do.
Just a suggestion.
I know, and I will be there. You're
strongly recommended suggestion.
I'm waiting to see how this DeFabo pony thing shakes out. It's been a while since we had a good media feud. Should I be stoking this or just waiting and seeing what happens?
I would just wait and see what happens. I would take that out of your hands at the moment and let the powers that be, whether it be Pony and DeFabo that want to duel it out, do their thing. I'm staying out of it.
Very interesting. I think it's really going to explode. Best game of the century was what? See, this is the type of thing we should be doing. We're 25 years in, basically.
Yeah.
Or should we do this at the end of 2025? Why can't I ever figure out math when it comes to centuries and things like that?
Well, if you include the year, hold on, I'm terrible at math.
I know.
Too.
Plus, there's a rule that the year 2000 isn't part of this century. I read about that in the Gregorian calendar or something like
so
that.
So it's like it go. Doesn't it go like 1901?
Well, how many years 2000? Have we had? What's 1 through 24? Is that 25 years or 24 years?
So I was born in 2001. People that, like, you know math and aren't just us that don't know anything about counting or math or anything like that. Like, we would make, like, awful doctors, scientists, mathematicians, stuff
we've
like
only
that.
We were only 24 years in, so it might be too early for all quarter century teams.
I'll be 24
But we can
this
still
year.
Do it as we go into the year 2025. What's the best game you saw this century so far?
The first thing that came to my mind was Patriots, Seahawks, Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler.
No, Pittsburgh.
Line. Oh, Pittsburgh. 2013 wild card.
Better than the Super Bowl with the Steelers and the Cardinals?
Yeah.
No way.
What? It's what that game meant in the wild card. I was also 8 years old when that, I was actually 7 years old, right? 2009, I didn't turn
Well, it's only
yet.
Your opinion, so how can I disagree? I apologize for my reaction. We have to go. See you tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. This will be fun.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.